Welcome to Your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick. How do you feel about disruption? Some people run it at full tilt boogie, and others shy away from it, preferring the regular pattern or the status quo. Today, Nick and I explore the power and the value of a good disruption. And in a lovely little reality check, we talk about a couple of instances we chose not to disrupt in a situation that was close to home. There is a time and a place for everything, my friends, and that includes disruption. Enjoy. I had someone who was fired from a place that I worked by voicemail.
Oh!
At their home.
That's nice.
Oh, by the way, you're no longer welcome here, I believe was the way it was left.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, what we want to do in the future is really disrupt as many things as possible. We've disrupted dating with dating apps. We've disrupted taxis with Uber and Lyft and ride sharing. Yeah. And we're going to disrupt common human decency by firing you via email and text message.
Oh, that feels sad. Because I'm a fan of disruption. I like the fact that I even like the term disruption.
Sure.
Because I used to be a disruption when I was in elementary school and middle school. They called me a disruptor. That was actually, and I liked it because I felt like a rebel. I was breaking your patterns, right? I'm going to disrupt this thing. There's so many things that need to be disrupted now. I mean, what do you think needs to be disrupted now?
Education, the prison system, government in general, the way we approach people who are unhoused and the stigma around that. Mm. Same thing with any welfare or those types of programs, entitlement programs, health, you know, just about everything.
Yeah.
Except the stuff that everybody is actually disrupting. Right. Because it's been disrupted.
This is the thing.
Got it. Got dating apps done. Go on to the next thing, please.
Well, and our government, local government, you know, state government is focused on disrupting culture as opposed to disrupting housing prices or insurance prices, yeah, or, you know, the things that everybody really wants and needs. And
it was funny because I did that thing with my aunt, who is a staunch Republican, big fan of DeSantis, and without putting an asterisk or making this sound like an excuse, because she's hyper-focused on one thing, as a lot of people are when it comes to politics. And I'm saying this on both sides, right? And so the one thing that she's hyper-focused on when it comes to DeSantis is during the pandemic, he tried as far as he could to keep businesses open. So that allowed her tenants to continue to be able to pay rent for the most part, which meant that she could still put food on the table.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like, it's more complicated than that, but that's the hyper-focus blinders on to this other stuff.
But she's utterly faithful to him for that one thing.
For that one thing, sure.
Right.
And so, you know, if it's important enough to you, you see that, again, on both sides. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make excuses, but it was funny because we were talking about it, and I was like, she was complaining about her home insurance going up again and the exorbitant rates that she's paying, not only for home insurance, but for property insurance, for the property she owns and all that. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, the government is so focused on trans or BLM or Disney, and they're not focusing on this. Why aren't you like, you know, why are you still supporting them when they can't do this? Shouldn't they be doing that? And she's like, they should be doing both.
Fair enough.
Well, not in this case, because the other stuff they're doing is awful, and she is buying, she's sipping a little bit. Well,
right. But she's not ignorant to the fact that the things need to be done.
Yeah.
That was all I was saying.
But there's no alternative to her.
Right. No, no.
Right.
No, right.
So she's going to have to, you know, they'll get to insurance eventually.
Yeah.
So,
But she's also in a place where she doesn't have to worry about insurance right now. And when I say that, she worries about it, but she can still afford it.
She can still afford it and still pay for other stuff.
And this is the thing. It's that same storm, different boat kind of a situation. And that's the hard part, because it's easy to write off all of the social evils that are being perpetrated when you're fiscally okay and when that's all that you care about. The Republicans in my life are all focused on their bank accounts and their investments and on protecting all of that stuff. And that's a large part of why they do what they do. And, you know, it's funny because I guess I'm doing to them what they're doing to their candidates, which is I'm choosing to pick and choose the things that I see in you so that I can still tolerate this relationship, right? So I'm having to ignore their affinity for these candidates that I can't stand in order to maintain a relationship with them in my life. And I'm still willing to do that. I am still willing to do that. But it gets harder sometimes because the absurdity of the actions of the candidates is getting weirder and harder and stupider. And so, hey, I know you pulled into my cul-de-sac. Did you notice the flags that were hanging on the houses around my cul-de-sac?
I try to ignore them for the most part.
It is, yeah. Well, for those who haven't been in my neighborhood, I've got a Trump 2020 flag flying from one house, a Trump 2024 flag flying from another house, a DeSantis land flag from another house, and a Don't Tread on Me flag with a scary looking snake on it. And you know, so you get a sense of the tone of my cul-de-sac even, right? And in wanders Liberal Bob, big smile on his face, little peace and love flag out front that says everyone is welcome here, and Buddha sitting on the front lawn. I feel like we are peaceful rebels in this neighborhood. We bring the love and the peace.
Conscientious dissenters, is that what they call them?
We are that, actually. Yeah. And also welcomers, because even though we disagree with the politics of all of these people, we welcome into our house. We have fed them. We have hung out with them and drunk with them. You know, it's like this is what you do in a neighborhood. But at the same time, you know where they stand, you know?
Hey, it's Nick. Thanks for being here with us. Whenever Bob and I talk about politics and I listen back to the episode, I do feel a little cringy. It's something that I do want to talk about, and I'm so lucky that I have someone like Bob to talk about it with. But it's incredibly divisive, and I wonder if it fits into the Daily Dose cinematic universe. What do you think? Should we only say funny things with our faces? Should we cover topics like this? Should we be speaking directly to you like this? Like you, listening right now, I'm talking to you. And my cat is too, apparently.